الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، يقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله قبل ذلك: الأمر العاشر مما يكون يوم القيامة. In continuation of the شرح في العقيدة الوسطية, in particular dealing with the affairs of the day of resurrection and some of the events which will be taking place, we have dealt with 9 so far, and tonight inshallah we'll be addressing the 10th, and tonight is the 19th of March 2011, or actually the 14th of Rabi' al-Thani, 1432, which corresponds to 19th of March 2011. The 10th matter or affair or event which will happen on the day of resurrection, Dukhul al-Jannah, or Dukhulul Jannah, the entrance to paradise or entering paradise. Let's say entering paradise. وأشار المؤلف رحمه الله بقوله وأول من يستفتح أو من يستفتح باب الجنة باب الجنة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the author رحمه الله شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية alluded to that by saying, and the first who will seek to open the gate of paradise will be the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَدَلِيلُهُ مَا ثَبَتَ فِي صَحِيحِ مُسْلِمٍ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ أَنَا أَوَّلُ شَفِيعٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. The evidence which affirms that is the hadith in Sahih Muslim, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am the first one to intercede for entering paradise, or for paradise, or in regards to paradise. وَفِي لَفْظٍ, and in another wording of the narration, أَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ يَقْرَعُ بَابَ الْجَنَّةِ, I am the first to knock on the gate of Jannah. وَفِي لَفْظٍ, and in another wording, أَتِي بَابَ الْجَنَّةِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ فَأَسْتَفْتِحْ, I will come to the gate of Jannah on the day of resurrection. فأستفتح, and I will seek permission. I will ask for it to be opened. فيقول الخازن, the gatekeeper will say, من أنت, who are you? فأقول, I will say محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. He will say محمد. فيقول بك أمرت لا أفتح لأحد من قبلك. He will say, it is concerning you I was commanded. I will never to open this door to anyone before you. وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأستفتح أي أطلب فتح الباب. The statement أستفتح means I seek, I ask for the door or for the gate to be opened. وهذا من نعمة الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is from the mercy or from the bounty or from the favor of Allah upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإن الشفاعة الأولى التي يشفعها في عرصات القيامة لإزالة الكروب والهموم والغموم. عليكم السلام. The first intercession which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for will be on the plains of the plains of the day of resurrection. لإزالة, in order to remove the كروب, the difficulty, the stress, the distress and the worries. والشفاعة الثانية لنيل الأفراح والسرور. And the second intercession is the attainment of happiness and pleasure. فيكون شافعا للخلق عليه الصلاة والسلام في دفع ما يضرهم وجلب ما ينفعهم. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم will be the one interceding on behalf of the creation in order to bring about what will benefit them, in order to protect them from what will harm them, and bring about what will benefit them. Yes. ولا دخول إلى الجنة إلا بعد شفاعة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. عليكم السلام. And there is no admittance to paradise except after the intercession of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. No one will enter Jannah except after the شفاعة. لأن ذلك ثبت في السنة كما سبق. Because this has been confirmed in the Sunnah, or affirmed in the Sunnah, as we mentioned previously. وأشار إليه عليه الصلاة وأشار إليه عز وجل بقوله حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها. And so then when they come to it, and then its gates open. فإنه لم يقل حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت, Now here, this is the يعني, technicality of the choice of words in the Quran. And this is something amazing, by the way. Most people don't know this because, of course, it's particular to the Arabic language. Otherwise, you wouldn't find it in the references in the English language unless Ibn Kathir mentioned it. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. There's that wa. And the Shaykh said, Allah didn't say so until they came, so, and without end. Until they came, the doors were open or the gates were open, because that would be sudden. He said, and إشارة إلى أن هناك شيئا قبل الفتح. This is an indication that there's an event which will take place before the opening. They come to it, and it will open. That end, in fact, means that there's another event which will take place before the gates open, which is the intercession of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما أهل النار وهو الشفاعة. And this is the intercession. As for the people of the fire, فقال فيهم حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت أبوابها. Does it have a wow there? In my نسخة it has wow in both آيات by mistake. In my نسخة it has both. Now for the people of Jahannam, until when they came, there's no wa. فتحت أبوابها لأنهم يأتونها مهيئة فتبتغيهم نعوذ بالله منها. Because they come and it will be ready for them, so it wants them. You notice now. So with Jannah, حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها. With أهل النار, حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت أبوابها. That's one thing. Another thing which is amazing. سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة لا ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم. You guys don't have Surah Al-Kahf memorized? You've been reciting it every Jum'ah for years, يا جماعة الخير. Notice now. سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم. Because in the Arabic language, after you list seven repetitive things, the conjunction and comes after at the eighth. So you say Ahmed, Muhammad, Mustafa, Rabi', Khalid, Munir. How many are these? 3, 6. Whatever. Ayman wa Abdullah came. So comma. When you get to the eighth one, this is when you put the end. So now we have two reasons why we have wa. In Surah Al-Kahf, when we said third and the fourth is their dog. Five, but without add. Third, fourth is their dog. Five, sixth is their dog. Seven, and eighth is the dog, because we reached eight. In this one, how many gates do we have for Jahannam? Seven. حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت أبوابها. There's no wow. As for Jannah, how many gates do we have? Eight. حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها. Did you get it? Is that clear? See how technical these things are? Amazing things. When I first heard this, I was like, subhanAllah Adeem, you would never think about this. You just realize, it doesn't make a difference. There's a wow, there's no wow. Even these little things make a huge difference. They have, they play a role in the language and in the eloquence of the Quran and in the majesty of the Quran. It's inimitable. You can't bring anything like it. It's so technical, so intricate in these things. SubhanAllah al-Azim. طيب. Then that's clear. That's besides the point, but I wanted to point that out because there may be benefit in the future. قوله أول من يدخل الجنة من الأمم أمته. And the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, and the first who will enter Jannah amongst the various nations will be his nation. هذا حق ثابت. This is a confirmed fact. دليله ما ثبت في صحيح مسلم. Again, the evidence for that is what has been affirmed in صحيح مسلم. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. On the authority of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نحن الآخرون الأولون. يوم القيامة. We are the last and the first on the day of resurrection. The last meaning the last nation. The first to enter Jannah. ونحن أول من يدخل جنة. And we are the first one to enter Jannah. Clear, explicit. There's no تأويل. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم نحن الآخرون السابقون يوم القيامة. In another narration he said we are the last and the forerunners on the day of resurrection. السابقون, we'll be ahead of everyone. وهذا يشمل كل مواقف القيامة. وانظر حاجة الأرواح لابن القيم رحمه الله. This includes all of the situations on the day of resurrection. And refer back to the book حاجة الأرواح by ابن القيم الجوزية رحمة الله عليه. تتمة. Now completion. أبواب الجنة لم يذكرها المؤلف. وعليكم السلام. The doors or the gates of Jannah, the author did not mention. لكنها معروفة أنها ثمانية. But it is known that it is how many? 8. قال الله تعالى حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في من توضى وأسبغ الوضوء وتشهد إلا فتحت له أبواب الجنة الثمانية يدخل من أيها يشاء. Allah said the ayah, and the Sheikh didn't explain the ayah, but because of that wow, we know that it is 8, as we mentioned earlier. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whosoever performs ablution and completely, he completes it, does it correctly, and then he does the shahada, شهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد عبد رسوله, except that the 8 gates of Jannah will open up for him, he will enter from whichever one he likes. طيب, we usually don't think about all that when we make wudu. Unfortunately, we just want to get it done with so we can make salah. But there's a lot of ibadah associated with that. إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين. And Allah loves those who do tawbah often and who purify themselves. And it's a form of purification. وهذه الأبواب كانت ثمانية بحسب الأعمال. Why are they 8? These are 8 gates according to deeds. لأن كل باب له عمال. Every gate will have people working for it, striving for this deed. فأهل الصلاة ينادون من باب الصلاة. The people of Salah will be called from the gate of Salah. وأهل الصدقة من باب الصدقة. And the people of charity will be called from the gate of charity. وأهل الجهاد من باب الجهاد. And the people of fighting for the sake of Allah from the gate of fighting for the sake of Allah. وأهل الصيام from which door?
ريان.
Because we have a specific name for that one. And the people of fasting from ريان.
That's fasting gate. That's fasting gate.
The
charity gate.
Hey, the charity gate?
The gate of charity.
Bab al-Sadaqah?
Bab al-Sadaqah.
Now we're being deceived by Rayyan.
Mafi Bab al-Siyam.
Mafi, it's called Bab al-Rayyan. It was called Bab al-Rayyan. وَقَدْ يُوَفِّقُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ لِأَعْمَالٍ صَالِحَةٍ شَامِلَةٍ. However, Allah may grant success to some of the people so they may have encompassing good deeds. Their good deeds are all over the place. فَيُدْعَى مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْأَبْوَابِ. He would be called from all gates. كَمَا فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. As it is in the Sahihain, we said, what does that mean? Bukhari Muslim. So the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَنْفَقَ زَوْجَيْنِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ نُودِيَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ هَذَا خَيْرٌ. Whosoever spends 2 pairs in the sake of Allah, it doesn't mention 2 pairs of anything, and it's for the sake of Allah, he will be called from the gates of Jannah, O slave of Allah, this is goodness. That's one hadith. وذكر حديث, he mentioned the hadith. وفيه فقال أبو بكر. Now when he mentioned the hadith, Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه said, بأبي أنت وأمي يا رسول الله. May my father and mother be ransomed for you. يعني I don't, if I had to choose between your safety or your existence, your survival and that of my mom and dad, then I favor you over my mom and dad. Let them die if you will remain alive. That's what the Sahaba used to say to the Messenger of Allah. Now the Sunnah comes to us and says, Jazakallah khair, brother. The Sunnah, خليها عشانك. No problem. يا أخي, it's the Sunnah. And not only it's the Sunnah, it's wajib. يعني it's part of the sunnah which is obligatory. It's a sunnah because it came from the hadith. Not from the Quran. Yeah, I know, brother. But barakallah fi. Okay, zakallah khair. Allahu ghafur al-rahim. Very good. That shows you the difference between us and the Sahaba. Wallahu musta'an. Hey, إذن قال نعم ما على من دعي من تلك الأبواب من ضرورة فهل يدعى أحد من تلك الأبواب كلها؟ There is no, I mean, what else? What harm could there be for someone who gets invited from all doors? Would anyone be invited from all these gates? قال نعم. He told them عليه الصلاة والسلام, yes. وأرجو أن تكون منهم, and I hope that you will be among them. That Abu Bakr will be called from the 8 gates of Jannah to enter from whichever one he likes. رضي الله عنه وعن ابنته وأرضاهم. فإن قلت أو عن بنتيه أسماء and عائشة. فإن قلت إذا كانت الأبواب بحسب الأعمال لازم أن يدعى كل أحد من كل تلك الأبواب إذا عمل بعملها. فما هو الجواب؟ We have an issue. If these gates are according to deeds, then everyone must be called from all of these gates. Don't you pray and fast and give sadaqah? You know, most people probably have a share of all of these. So then everyone will be called from all the gates. What is the answer for that? فالجواب أن يقال يدعى من الباب المعين من كان يكثر من العمل المخصص له. He will be called of the gate the one who used to do abundance of that deed. يعني he was specialized, if we may say. He did a lot of it. Not that he had a little bit of siyam, a little bit of salah. No, someone who is known for praying a lot, or for fasting Mondays and Thursdays, the 3 days of every month, al-ayyam will be the white days, or alternate days. One day he fasts like Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever. Someone who fasts a lot, then this is his specialty. But fasting Ramadan, everybody fasts Ramadan. So according to the one he indulges in more often, he will be called. فإذا كان هذا الرجل كثير الصلاة من فيدعى من باب الصلاة. Then if he prays a lot, he will be called from the door of the gate of salah. كثير الصيام من باب الريان. If he has a lot of fasting, then from the gate of ريان, etc. وليس كل إنسان تحصل له الكثرة في كل عمل صالح. Not everyone is able to do a lot of every good deed. لأنك تجد في نفسك بعض الأعمال أكثر وأنشط من بعض. Everyone finds that he inclines towards a particular deed more so than he does towards others. لكن قد يمن الله على بعض الناس. But Allah may bestow a special favor upon some of the people. فيكون نشيطا قويا في جميع الأعمال. He's strong and he has energy to do good deeds of all kinds. You find him صدقة and fasting and praying. ما شاء الله تبارك الله. كما سبق في قصة أبي بكر رضي الله عنه, as previously mentioned in the story of Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, who was known for all of the above. That was the 10th matter or affair of the day of resurrection. الحادي الأمر الحادي عشر, the 11th matter or affair مما يكون يوم القيامة, which will take place on the day of resurrection, الشفاعة. And this is a very important aspect of Tawheed. Very important to understand Shafa'ah, because many Muslims, may Allah rectify our condition and theirs, have a major misconception about Shafa'ah. They think the Shafa'ah is with Abdul Qadir al-Jilani in his grave, or with the Prophet ﷺ right now in his grave, or with Wali, you know, Waliullah Fulan or Fulan. Big problem. Sometimes they think the Shafa'ah is with an ayah which they hang in their house, you know, or Quran which they leave in their glove compartment in their car, or something which they hang on their children. It's the ta'weed. But really they think it's going to intercede, it's going to protect them from some sort of evil. It's that concept. We will see what shafa'a means Islamically. وقد ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله بقوله وله صلى الله عليه وسلم في القيامة ثلاث شفاعات. Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله said, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم will have on the day of resurrection 3 intercessions. Lahu, the damir, the pronoun lahu, is referring back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya'ud li Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. والشفاعات شفاعات, and we're not talking about Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. Al-shafa'at is the plural of shafa'a. Shafa'a is singular. Shafa'at is plural. What kind of plural is this, ya Sheikh Abdul Majid? جمع مؤنث سالم. Because in Arabic we have جمع مذكر سالم, جمع مؤنث سالم, and جمع تكسير سور, جمع مكسور broken جمع, جمع تكسير. جمع تكسير. The مؤنث سالم is the one you add ألف تاء and it's for the feminine. مؤمنة مؤمنات, مسلمة مسلمات, خديجة خديجات. Many people don't know that. عائشة عائشات. Hey, yes, they can be pluralized. These names can be pluralized. شفاعة شفاعات. The مذكر سالم. واو نون or or يا نون, depending on where it falls in the sentence. ذهبت إلى المهندسين because it's مجرور, right? ضربت المهندسين. I beat up the architects or the engineers because it's مفعول به. يعني مفعول به ينصب بالياء, ينصب بالياء بدل الفتحة لأنه من الأسماء الخمسة ولا لا. على كل حال جمع شفاعة والشفاعة. Now what does شفاعة mean linguistically? Who can give us an ayah first where you've heard that word? It doesn't have to be in the same format or the same root. Give me any derivative. Like I can say neglect. You can give me negligence, neglectful, إلى آخره. Give me anything, but شفاعة. لا إله إلا الله. ما, no one knows آية الكرسي, ها؟ من ذا الذي يشفع عنده؟ Thank you very much. That's the verb. Give me another one. والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر. Now we will see what شفع is, because we have an Islamic meaning and a linguistic meaning. When we said من ذا الذي يشفع عنده, we were referring to the Islamic legal meaning. When we said والشفع والوتر, we were referring to the linguistic meaning. The Sheikh said في اللغة جعل الشيء شفعا. What does it mean linguistically to make something double or in pairs? Witr is one, shafa is two, right or wrong? والشفع والوتر, it's والوتر عفوا, the two and the one, and one of the qiraat is actually وتر. على كل حال, from what I remember. إلا وفي الاصطلاح. Now this is the linguistic meaning. شفع is making things what? Double, to double things or to make them in pairs, to make them in pairs. يعني شفعا ووترا. These ones put two together, this one put one on its own.
Even odd.
Even an odd. أحسنت. Even an odd. Good. وفي الاصطلاح, and اصطلاح meaning legally now, Islamically, in the Islamic sciences, التوسط للغير بجلب منفعة أو دفع مضرة. It is to be an intermediary, to be a middleman between you and someone, or for someone, so that you may bring a benefit or avoid a harm. يعني you go to the مدير and you tell him, فلان معلش, he made a mistake, it's on me, forgive him. So you're now a middleman on speaking on behalf of someone, trying to protect him from some harm or trying to bring him some benefit. This is what it means, شفاعة. ومناسبتها للاشتقاق ظاهرة. Now the question which arises, how did we get that linguistic meaning, or how did we deduce, or what is the relation between the legal meaning and the linguistic meaning? Who can use his brain? يعني we said شفع is making things even, right, in twos, pairs. That's linguistic. Now we learn from this term that شفاعة means to go and speak on behalf of someone and try to get him something good going on for him. What is the relation between the, between them?
You like them?
It's actually what you're making two like one. You, the intercessor, and the one interceded for are becoming like a single entity. You're actually doubling them. And then you're speaking to the third party. You understand the relation, how this legal meaning came from the linguistic meaning. لأنك إذا توسطت له صرت معه شفعا تشفعه. If you intercede for him, you become double. You become a couple with him. And you're making them even. You even them out. والشفاعة تنقسم إلى قسمين. شفاعة is divided into two kinds. شفاعة باطلة, false شفاعة, وشفاعة صحيحة, correct شفاعة. So a false one and a true, correct one. Well, who knows the شفاعة الباطلة? Before I read it for you, what do you think the شفاعة الباطلة is?
to remove the enmity between the two persons, just we are telling lie to make them.
No, actually that's actually one of the times when you allow to lie in Islam.
Why?
One of the times you allow to lie.
Jihad.
ايش بك يا رجال؟ ايش بك انت تروح على البحر الاحمر المتوسط؟ ابراهيم, I didn't ask you what are the exceptions for lying. You give me the exceptions for lying. To reconcile between two people, lie to your wife, barakallah fiqh, or the wife lie to her husband, tell him you look good when he doesn't look good, and in war. I didn't ask you about that. I'm asking, what do you think that we mean when we say false safa'ah? What are we talking about? Yes. And we're not speaking about the dunya.
Sir.
The Quran is all over the place about this. It's all over the Quran.
Wrong idols, you know, they cannot give shafa to you.
Aywa! The kuffar, they say these people, you know, they worship Jesus and this and the sun and the moon and all kinds of things, and they claim that these will intercede for us with Allah on the day of the resurrection. This is false shafa'ah. We will see why. That person, anyone now, any false deity is false shafa'ah. ما يتعلق به المشركون في أصنامهم. It's the one which the idolaters are attached to concerning their idols. حيث يعبدونهم, they worship them. ويزعمون, and they claim, they allege, أنهم شفعاء لهم عند الله. And they say these are our intercessors with Allah. كما قال تعالى ويعبدون من دون الله ما لا يضرهم ولا ينفعهم ويقولون هؤلاء شفعاؤنا عند الله. And they worship besides Allah that which does not harm them, nor do they benefit them. And they say, these are our intercessors with Allah. وَيَقُولُونَ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَةً. Then they further say, we don't worship them except that they may bring us nearer to Allah. Remember we took this in Masjid Al-Aziziyah? And أصول الثلاثة, was it? Or the other one? على كل حال. لكن هذه الشفاعة باطلة. This kind of intercession is false. لا تنفع. It brings no benefit. كما قال تعالى فما تنفعهم شفاعة الشافعين. The intercession of the intercessors will not benefit them. Will not benefit them. والشفاعة, is that clear? Anyone who seeks that kind of intercession from Allah, Allah will not accept it. Allah Azza wa Jalla, because this is shirk. And Allah already told them that you don't need this intercession. أدعوني أستجب لكم. You need something, call on me, I will respond to you. Don't go through any intermediaries. Don't claim I'm only worshipping Allah through fulan of what. It doesn't work. This is shirk. This is the people of Nuh who were drowned. This is the people of Ibrahim and their eyes. This is the same shirk that the many Muslims, if we can still call them Muslims, commit today, going against the core of our deen. سبحان الله العظيم. والشفاعة الصحيحة and the correct intercession ما جمعت شروطا ثلاثة. It must meet three conditions. Memorize them like you memorize your name. Three conditions must exist for us to say this intercession will benefit this person on يوم القيامة. First, الأول رضي الله عن الشافع أو رضى الله عن الشافع. مفروض يكون رضا هنا. There should be no ya. Do you have ya يا عبد المجيد؟ رضى الله عن الشافع أو رضي الله عن الشافع. Does it have ياء or ألف مكسورة؟ ألف مكسورة. See, mine has a ياء. I knew this was wrong. الحمد لله رب العالمين. رضى, أيوة, it has two dots. It shouldn't. رضى الله عن الشافع. The Allah being pleased with the intercessor. الشافع. The intercessor. Allah must be pleased with him. The first condition, Allah must be pleased with him. Now, is Allah pleased with a kafir? No. So no kafir can intercede for a believer. That's the first thing. الثاني, the second condition, رضاه عن المشفوع له. That Allah is pleased with the one who's been interceded for. First condition, Allah be pleased with the intercessor. Someone who will speak on behalf of someone. Second condition, Allah must also be pleased with the one who's been interceded for. يعني if Allah is pleased with the intercessor, but this intercessor is interceding for someone whom Allah is not pleased with, it's not going to benefit. Is Allah pleased with the kafir? No, you cannot do shafa'ah for the kafir. Exception to the rule, Abu Talib. Because it was revealed to us that he's an exception, his punishment will be lightened. Other than that, no. No. لكن الشفاعة العظمى في الموقف عامة لجميع الناس من رضي الله عنه ومن لم يرضى عنه. But the general, the grand intercession will encompass everyone. Whether those Allah is pleased with or those whom Allah is not pleased with. Which shafa'ah? The shafa'ah of the Prophet ﷺ when he will beg Allah to begin the judgment, to begin the accountability. You all know the hadith when they go to Adam, Nuh, ila akhirih. That encompasses all, but the shafa'ah of Jannah and protection from Jahannam, Allah must be pleased with the intercessor, with the one interceded for. وَالثَّالِثِ إِذْنِهِ فِي الشَّفَاعَةِ. Allah must allow it. Yani Allah must give him the permission. Because Allah may be pleased with one intercessor, and he may be pleased with the one being interceded for, but Allah doesn't give him the permission to speak. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفًّا لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ. Even if there's a valid intercession from the intercessor and the one interceded for, if Allah doesn't permit it, it's not going to happen. Then the permission of Allah. So we're in big trouble. Allah must be, all these three conditions must be met to receive the shafa'ah. وَالْإِذِنْ لَا تَكُونْ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الرَّبَعَ عَنِ الشَّافِعِ وَالْمَشْفُعِ لَهُ. And the third condition really can never take place unless the first two exist. Yani Allah must be pleased with the intercessor and the one interceded for to give them the permission. If one of them is missing, no permission will be given. إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. He has to say something right. If he's interceding for one who doesn't deserve intercedence, he's not saying something right. And vice versa.
ودليل ذلك قوله تعالى وكم من ملك في السماوات في السماوات لا تغني شفاعتهم شيئا إلا من بعد أن يأذن الله لمن يشاء ويرضى.
سورة النجم. And how abundant are the angels in the samawat, many angels in the samawat, لا تغني شفاعتهم شيئا, their intercession will be of no benefit, will avail of nothing, إلا except من بعد أن يأذن الله, after Allah permits, لمن يشاء to whosoever He wills, ويرضى, and He is pleased. So all the conditions were met in this one ayah. You get it? ولم يقل عن الشافع, and Allah didn't say يرضى عن من. He didn't say Allah is pleased with who, the intercessor or the interceded for, which means it includes both. When Allah didn't mention one, meaning He must be pleased with the intercessor, والمشفوع له, and the one being interceded for, ليكون أشمل, this is more encompassing. Like you say, سبح اسم ربك الأعلى, glorify the name of your Lord, the most high. Allah didn't mention higher than what? To give it the ultimate superlative form. You understand? In the English language, it's a superlative. Tall, taller, tallest. When you say tallest, you don't have to say the taller than fulan, 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 fulan. If you say Ahmed is the tallest, خلاص. Everybody else is shorter than him. There's no need to compare. So when this has been emitted, when the specifying of who's being Allah, whom Allah is pleased with, is emitted, that means it encompasses both the intercessor and the one being interceded for.
وقال تعالى يومئذ لا تنفع الشفاعة إلا من من أذن له الرحمن ورضي له قولا ورضي له قولا.
In Surah Taha, on that day, no intercession will benefit except the one whom the Most Merciful permits, and he is pleased with this statement. Again, وَقَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنِ ارْتَضَى. They do not intercede except to the one whom Allah is pleased with. All of these ayat affirm these three conditions: that Allah must be pleased with the intercessor, the one interceded for, and Allah must permit it. There must be a إذن, permission for them to actually intercede. الآية الأولى تضمنت شروط الثلاثة. The first ayah included three conditions. والثانية تضمنت شرطين. The third, second ayah had two conditions. والثالثة تضمنت شرطا واحدا. The third ayah had one condition. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاث شفاعات. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has three intercessions. الشفاعة العظمى, the grand intercession, which is the one where people, where the judgment begins after 50,000 years of waiting. Then the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام will begin, and we will deal with the hadith in the future, inshallah. The second one was شفاعه لأهل الجنة ليدخلوا الجنة, the intercession for the people of Jannah to actually enter Jannah, because the door were not open until the Messenger of Allah opens it. So even if they're qualified, he still is needed for the admittance to Jannah عليه الصلاة والسلام. Look at this مقام المحمود which Allah عز وجل has given him صلى الله عليه وسلم. No one in the whole creation has this. Not Jibreel, not Mikael, not Musa, not Ibrahim. With all respect and love to all of them, no one has this privilege that the Prophet ﷺ has. Alayhi salatu salam.
والشفاعة في من استحق النار أن يدخلها. And then he will intercede for those who deserve the fire to enter Jannah. To enter Jannah, أن لا يدخلها. That he does not enter Jahannam. وفي من دخلها أن يخرج منها. He will intercede for some people who deserve Jahannam that they don't enter Jahannam. What? Why you look shocked?
Those who deserve Jahannam?
Yes, the Muslims, believers, the Messenger of Allah will intercede for them. But who though? Allah knows. Those who are on the Sunnah. Nah, not those who are ignoring the Sunnah. That's, at least we can know that much. Still, it's the affairs for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفِي مَنْ دَخَلَ أَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنَهَ. And he will intercede for some who have already entered Jahannam to be taken out. So he will have three intercessions. The grand intercession. Then the intercession for people to enter Jannah who are already qualified. Then he will intercede for those who may enter Jahannam, they will not enter it, period. And another group who have already entered to be taken out. He will enter. This is a special shafa'ah Allah will give him. And we don't count on it. We hope for it. We beg Allah for it. But we don't live our lives thinking, Ya Allah, I follow my desires and inshallah the Messenger of Allah will do shafa'ah for me. You don't know. You may not get the shafa'ah and go to Jahannam and stay there. So we don't play games with these things. But is that a valid teaching? Yes, it is. Ala kulha, this is enough, inshallah ta'ala, because of time constraints. Barakallahu feekum. I am on a time budget. Then next week, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal, we'll be dealing with the very important narration of the events of Yawm al-Qiyamah and the hadith of shafa'ah. The hadith of al-shafa'ah al-uzma. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.